The book of Proverbs, chapter 31. The book of Proverbs, chapter 31. I just shook my head at Gary and Jane Matthews over there because last Monday at the Preacher's Fellowship at Denny's Restaurant, I preached from Proverbs chapter 23, where Solomon said to his son, "Give me thine heart." And I preached that message that Monday, and then I went up to preach Friday night at Joy Baptist Church. And Gary and Jane drove up there. And I was preaching Friday night at Joy Baptist Church, an hour and a half away from here, on Proverbs chapter 23, "Give me thine heart." And there were Gary and Jane sitting there. Now, I'd given Gary a warning that that's what I was preaching, and he drove up there anyways. So I preached it there, I preached it up there, and then he told me, "Well, you need to preach that at our church too. I don't mind hearing it a third time." So when I said, "Open to Proverbs," I just shook my head no to him, so he didn't think he had to hear it again three times in the same week anyways. But we're in Proverbs chapter 31 this morning. We're going to begin reading, of course, in that very familiar passage. Proverbs chapter 31, down in verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, as we honor our mothers today on Mother's Day. Proverbs 31, verse 10. We're going to take some time to read this morning, read the entirety of the remainder of this chapter, 31 verses. But follow along, if you would, in your Bible as I go to Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Solomon wrote these words, writing words of counsel to his son. He said to his son, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles into the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, we pray that you would guide and direct our thoughts this morning. Father, may we be thankful for the mothers that you have given us. Father, for the wives, for the daughters. And Lord, I pray that you challenge us this morning to be thankful for those blessings for which you've given. Lord, we pray you'd bless the message this morning to each and every heart. May it be an encouragement and a blessing to us. May it lift us up. And Lord, I pray it would honor the ladies that are among us tonight that are doing their best to love the Lord, to serve their families, and to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Father, I pray you challenge us as husbands and men to support our wives, to make them what they want to be. Bless your word to each and every heart. We pray especially should there be one today whose life is empty. They're without the Lord Jesus Christ. God, they need him this morning. May they see him hanging on Calvary's cross for their sins. And Father, trust him as their Savior today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're looking at Proverbs chapter 31 and looking at the Proverbs 31 woman. Now sometimes we preach this passage, and I've been guilty of preaching this passage in such a way that it intimidates women to try to live up to the standard of the woman that's mentioned in Proverbs 31. But may I say this morning, this example is not given us for intimidation, but for inspiration. The Bible tells us that we're to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here that thinks they're fulfilling 100% that command to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think so. And yet we are set that standard and that high goal that we are to strive to be like Him. Alright, it can be intimidating, but it's supposed to be inspiring. Well, here we find the Proverbs 31 woman. I believe it's the same thing. It's not to be an intimidation factor. It's to be an inspiration that for all mothers, for all wives, this would be that role model that they might shoot after. I know that this is a lofty goal because Solomon says in verse number 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Solomon spent his life looking for that one that fit these categories that he talks about without ever finding one. I could entitle this sermon, as far as Solomon's concerned, The One That Got Away. Look, if you would, keep your place in Proverbs, but look over a few pages at the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 7. And see what I mean by that. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The same writer, Solomon, that wrote the book of Proverbs and gave his son advice on the right woman to look for. By the way, that's good advice for all dads. Give your sons counsel on the right woman to look for. Because I guarantee you the wrong woman will pop up. And we need to make sure we've taught them correctly. But notice Solomon said in verse 25 of chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived according to God. And in the height of that wisdom, when he looked at the rest of the world, it about drove him insane. The more spiritual you and I are and the closer to God we are, the more crazy this world looks. When you say, well, this world looks fine, you know, I mean, it's just trying its best and doing that, you're not walking with God. When you walk with God in the light of His Word and His glory is shed on your way and you're living in the light and walking in the light, you realize what kind of world we're living in right now. I've said it often that the old preacher Lester Roloff back in the 60s said, America is an insane asylum run by the inmates. Now, he said that 50 years ago as he dealt with government powers in Texas and them trying to shut down his Christian homes and all that kind of stuff. George Bernard Shaw was not a Christian. He was a playwright a couple centuries ago. But George Bernard Shaw, he said this. It's not spiritual, but he said, if there is life on other planets, they must be using Earth for their insane asylum. Now, whether you like Lester Roloff's quotes or George Bernard Shaw, they pretty much got it down. This world is a mess. And the closer we get to God, the more we realize how wicked the world is. Solomon, in his wisdom, it almost drove him crazy. When you read Ecclesiastes, he's struggling because he's so wise and got so much wisdom that he doesn't fit in this world anymore. And he says, I sought for wisdom, and it was folly and foolishness and madness. Verse 26, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. You know what? As the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon was a complete fool when it came to the opposite sex. When it came to women. You understand? He had 700 wives. Now you say, is that literal? As far as I can tell, it's literal. It's not a metaphor, it's not an illustration, it's none of that. The Bible tells us he not only had 700 wives, and again, we can't, in our American culture, we can't even begin to fathom that. I mean, a harem is why? And then 700 wives and 300 concubines or mistresses. 1,000. And yet here's what Solomon says in verse 26. I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands is bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, that woman, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, that's Solomon, counting one by one to find the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among 1,000 have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Why did he pick the number 1,000? 700 wives, 300 concubines. 1,000 women in his life. And he says, one man in 1,000 I found that can be faithful and loyal and a constant friend. He said, but out of 1,000, a woman among all those have I not found. Poor Solomon. All these women in his life, and he couldn't find one in whom he trusted. He couldn't find one upon whom he could rely. He couldn't find one that he could have a real relationship with, a friendship, and a co-working relationship. He couldn't find one in 1,000. Now I believe, and this is just my take on this, in the book of Song of Solomon, he found that one. You read about the book of Solomon and the Song of Solomon. Solomon in that is writing an ode. He's writing a song to the one woman that got away. The one that he describes as comely, and she didn't have the outward beauty, but she was the hard worker, and she was the faithful woman, and she had modesty and character and all those things. And he fell in love with her, but she never fell in love with him. Why would she? Look what kind of rascal he was. Look what kind of character he had. Look at all the other women he's got around. She said, I'm not just joining one more in that bunch. So he found the right one, but she wouldn't have anything to do with him because of his reputation, his character, the way that he was. So Solomon in Proverbs 31, I said we could call this the one that got away. We could also call this Solomon's woe. Oh, woe is me. Out of 1,000, I finally found the right one. I found the Proverbs 31 woman, and she won't have anything to do with me. Ladies, can I recommend to you, don't jump at the first guy that comes along. Young girls, don't just jump at the first one that comes along, or don't get in the world's habit of gotta have a man. And when the one moves out, the next one moves in. And when that one's gone, the next one comes in. And it's just one tragedy after another, one disaster after another. Be picky. Be picky. Watch who you're looking for. Men, ladies, all together. Solomon made all these mistakes and finally found the right one, and she wouldn't have anything to do. So he tells his son, he says, son, here's what to look for. Here's the kind of woman you want. Can I tell you this morning that if you watch television and listen to the world, you won't become the right kind of woman. You won't become the right kind of, I've got to include men in this because we got men. I know it's Mother's Day. Your day's coming, all right? When it comes to Mother's Day, the world's philosophy is not going to teach you how to be a good woman. If you turn on TV during the day and watch Jerry Springer and those four things on The View, and if that's your model for womanhood, you're going to be in sad shape. The Proverbs 31 woman, we had a conversation. I knew when I was preaching this morning, and my wife and my sister Lisa was here in town this week, and we were sitting around, we were talking about this, and the Lord just impressed me. There are Proverbs 31 women around. We don't need to look at this woman and say, this is intimidating, and I can look at some of you men, and I know you have a Proverbs 31 wife. I know I have a Proverbs 31 wife. And when I look at these verses in Proverbs 31, I'm glad to say that what makes a woman a Proverbs 31 woman is the character in her life and the way that she is. A good woman will either make or break a man. Or a woman will either make or break a man. A woman will either help or hurt a man. And a woman will either be the source of pain or prosperity to a man. And Solomon learned all those the hard way. And so he told his son, don't model yourself after me. Don't follow me. Now that's a hard thing to do. And can I tell you, that doesn't work 99% of the time. Because the example we set is the example our children are going to follow. The way that we live our life is the way they're going to live. You don't sit them down and teach them and pattern them. They're going to follow the example they see. If you love the Lord, they're going to love the Lord. If church is an occasional thing, church to them will be an occasional thing. We set the pattern for them. Solomon set a pattern for his son. We don't really find out about his son. We don't know which one, whether it's Rehoboam, Jeroboam, who he's writing it to. But he gave them this advice. He said, here's what you want to do when you want to look for one. You look for a woman like that. The woman sets the standard. You're supposed to be like the Hollywood starlets. You're supposed to be like the beauty pageant queens. That's what the world puts the value on. Can I tell you where the real value of womanhood is? Look at, it's, you know where it is, Proverbs 31. Look at verse number 28. Here's the capstone of everything. It's not your wealth, it's not your popularity, it's not your fame, it's not your friends, it's not in your beauty, it's not in these things. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Ladies, if you've got the respect of your children and the love of your children and or your husband, you're the richest woman in the world. You don't need the wealth. You don't need the fame. You don't need the popularity. You don't need to be known. You don't need to be seen. If you've got the praise of your husband and children, you've got everything you need right there. And the wonderful thing is to be satisfied with that. Let's look if we can just for a few minutes at this woman here in Proverbs chapter 31. Just a few things from these verses. Notice first of all, there's four things I want to point out. Verse 10 to 12. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Can I say first of all, the Proverbs 31 woman is a woman that is faithful to her husband. A woman that is faithful to her husband. The world doesn't put the priority on that. The world doesn't emphasize that. But she's a woman that's faithful to her husband. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 34 says, jealousy is the rage of a man. Do you know it's not a thing for a woman to do to try to catch someone else's eye? That should not be the goal, to be someone that other men take notice of. The key word in these verses, I've got it circled in the middle of verse 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Ladies, you are a Proverbs 31 woman when you know that your husband doesn't have to worry about where you are and who you're with when you're not home. When you're out shopping and taking a little longer, can I say that again? When you're out shopping and taking a little longer, when you're out shopping and taking a little longer than your husband expected you to be gone, is there any ladies that aren't like that? They're out shopping and take a little longer. When your husband's sitting at home, he's not worrying and fretting about who you're seeing, who you're talking to, where you're going, where you're going to be. You know, it's not a badge of honor for a woman to keep her husband on the hook. It's not a badge of honor to keep him guessing and wondering. The Bible said the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And ladies, this morning, if your husband has the peace and contentment that he knows that you're his woman and he's your man, you've got more than the world could ever offer. You don't need to be like Elizabeth Burton with her five husbands. Elizabeth Burton? No, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm a big movie guy, you can tell. All right, you don't need to be like Elizabeth Taylor with her five husbands, or any of the Hollywood crowds that are in and out, up and down all the time and going around, and the mess they leave and the confusion for the children and all that's going on. If your husband's heart can safely trust in you, and you've got the praise of your children and or your husband, you've got everything you need right there. That is being a Proverbs 31 woman. It's not being seen by the world and flaunting for the world and dressing to get attention and trying to be the center of attention and the focus of everything around it. The focus is not on her. The focus is, James Dobson would say, the focus is on the family. And here's this Proverbs 31 woman, that she's not giving him a reason to be suspicious, not giving him a reason to be jealous. She is her husband's woman and he is her man. She's faithful to her husband. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I believe I'm talking to a lot of ladies here this morning that are Proverbs 31 women. Doesn't take a lot to be that. Just takes being a one-man woman, and for fellows, a one-woman man. And if we could straighten that out in the world, how much better the world would be. The Proverbs 31 woman is one that is faithful to her husband. Secondly, verse 13 to 20. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food. I don't know about you, but when I read these things, I find a woman that probably collapses in bed about 2 o'clock in the morning and then is up at 6 o'clock starting all over again. Now, that is intimidating, is it not? But can I say this? Here's what I want us to get out of verse 13 down to verse 20. Every one of these verses begins with the same word. She. She does this, and she does this, and she does this, and she does that, and she does that, and she does this, and she... Let's just boil it down to this. Number one was she's faithful to her husband. Number two, she's industrious and hardworking. She's industrious and hardworking. I am thankful I'm married to a Proverbs 31 woman who is definitely industrious and hardworking. And I can tell you that the old American proverb, the man works from sun to sun and the woman's work is never done. I can tell you that's about sums up everything at the Leafley household right there. I guess the biggest problem is getting the man to work from sun to sun. But getting the wife to work from never done. When I get up in the morning, she's busy already in the kitchen starting. When I go to bed at night, she seems like she's always in the kitchen getting things wrapped up. And then sometimes during the night, and men, most of your wives are the same way. They're taking care of their household, taking care of their husbands. We need to thank God for that. This morning, as we go through these things, if you've got a wife that's like that, you need to thank God for that. Because let me say this. He said, who can find a virtuous woman? They are few and far between. And they're not being raised and trained up that way anymore. They're very difficult to find. And here's a woman that is industrious and hardworking. Can I say this? And this is just for fun because I like having fun. This woman was like that before they even invented Pinterest. Some of you know what I'm talking about. All right, industrious and hardworking, taking care of her family, making sure they're clothed, making sure they're fed, making sure their husband is taken care of. Everything about her is a reflection of her. The family is a reflection of the woman. The prosperity of the family is not a reflection of the woman. How many cars you got, how nice your house is, how big it is, that's how well kept your kids are, how well behaved your kids are. You understand, a virtuous woman's hard to find. How well behaved your kids are. A woman needs to be industrious and hardworking. The Bible says, it says in verse 13, worketh willingly with her hands. The Proverbs 31 woman, I would dare say, never had time for the view. Much less not throwing a brick at the television set when they started talking. She never had time to see the fights and the squabbles on Jerry Springer. I never really knew what that show was much, but I had a coworker one time whose ex-wife was on Jerry Springer. And so at work, he turned the TV onto that and I began to watch some of that. I didn't watch for very long. I thought, why in the world would anybody sit and watch this for any month? But they keep renewing the show every year, every year, every year. Somebody's watching it. And it's not the ones that are hardworking. It's not the ones that are industrious. It's not the ones that are focused on the family. And that's the source of many of our problems today. Verse 15, the Bible says, she riseth while it is yet night. I can't tell you how many times, and I don't know if you guys have this too. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and roll over and nobody's there. I'm in bed by myself. I don't know. You know, the problem is I probably fell asleep before she got there, so I don't know when she got there, when she got up. My sister was here the other day, and we were having this conversation, and she said, yeah, last time I was here, what was it she told you she liked? You remember? All right, she said, I like tea or this thing or that thing. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, my wife got up and started making that tea for my sister for the next day. And my sister remembers that to this day, that she got up and did that. I don't, if you're a woman and you've had a kid, you know what rising in the middle of the night is all about. All right? It's a way of life for the first several years. And I always encouraged my wife to nurse simply so I couldn't help in the middle of the night. Now really it's because it's healthier and it's better for the baby But it did have a little bit to do with, I can't do, 2 o'clock in the morning, hey, sorry, I can't do anything about that. You'll have to take care of that. But this Proverbs 31 woman was the one that would rise in the middle of the night. Now, you're not always called upon to do that. So a woman says, well, I don't get up every night. No, you don't have to. But the thing is, you do when you do have to. You take care of the things that are necessary. They're taking care of the home. God help the woman, or God help the man who marries a lazy woman. God help the woman. We can go both ways, that marries the lazy man. I remember I was teaching at Massillon Christian School when I was in Bible college. I was filling in for a teacher. And it was a class full of boys. It was health class. So it was all boys in the class. And as I went up the stairs to the class, as I was going up, this high school senior girl was coming down. And she was a very pretty girl. Just everything about her smile, not her appearance, her smile, her dress, everything. She's very pretty. And as I go up the steps, I realize there's about 6 guys standing at the top, all watching her go down the stairs. And so I get into the class, and as they come in, that's all they're taught. Oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You know, the whole night, I thought, you know, there went the lesson for today. We're getting on something completely different now. So I got up to the blackboard. I said, all right, I want you to give me a list. These are all high school senior boys. I want you to give me a list of what you're looking for in a woman to be your wife. Oh, man, their testosterone was already flowing from looking down the stairs at that girl going. And they were ready to shoot off all the answers. Oh, she's got to be pretty. That was number one. She's got to be pretty. Got to be beautiful. Got to be attractive. That was number one. I said, all right, let's put that as number one. What else? Well, she's got to smile a lot. She's got to have a very pretty smile and very pretty eyes. All these guys are making, high school seniors, making all these categories about her physical appearance. So we got all done. I said, okay, now here's what you married. Here's what you've got. You've got the woman that just wears the nicest clothes all the time and a pretty smile and her hair's always done right and she's pretty and she's beautiful and she's attractive and the next morning you wake up on your honeymoon and she's got green gook all over her face. Because she's trying to keep her complexion right. And you know, she's a young woman, 21, 22, and wants her, so you got this green stuff. Any of you ladies ever do that? My sister mate was telling my wife and daughter when she was here, the one memory she has, I came home late when I was like a senior, junior in high school. I came home late from work or from somewhere. The house was all locked up, so I had to knock on the door. But before I got to the door, my sister Lisa, the one that was here, 2 years younger than me, she had all that green stuff, you know, just the little holes to peep out of, and the little, everything else was green. And I'm walking up to the door, and she's crouched down behind the glass, the opening. And the minute I get up there and get ready to knock, she jumps up from behind there and scared the wits out of me. And those boys, I said, that's great. You've got the most beautiful woman in the world, but she's got to maintain that looks. And how she does that is when she's a home in the house by herself, she's putting the green gook all over her face. She's got the curlers in her hair. Now, this was back a few years ago. She got the curlers in her hair. Then you get up in the morning and say, honey, make me breakfast. And she said, I don't know how to cook. That wasn't on the list. I don't know how to make anything, but don't I look pretty? The woman in Proverbs 31 was industrious. She was hardworking. Now, beauty is always favorable. Let's be honest. Men, we're usually attracted by the appearance of our wife. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you've got that and don't have the other things, you don't have the Proverbs 31 wife. You don't have this woman that's mentioned here. She riseth up while it is yet night. She worketh willingly with her hands. She's industrious. She's hardworking. Then we get down to verse number 21, down to verse 28. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known. Number 3, she takes care of her family. Her family is her priority. Her family is her life. Her husband, her children, that's what matters. Now, we live in a difficult society now. We live in a society where sometimes it requires 2 paychecks in a family. And I would simply say this, if that's the need in your family, then you do what God leads you to do. But if the reason to have 2 paychecks is because we need to live at this certain level, then maybe you need to re-examine that. Because the focus for a woman needs, let the man, as much as possible, let the man take care of the finances and let the woman focus on the family. That's how successful children are raised. Now, it doesn't mean, you think of Ben Carson, our Secretary of Health and Human Services, I believe it is, I could be wrong, but Ben Carson was raised by a single mother in Detroit, Michigan, who had to labor and work and yet still take care. And what a double duty she had to do to raise a good son that way. And it's possible, you can do that. But if you've got a husband, if you've got the paycheck, if you've got the money, and you don't, and I know we live in an area where the economy is suppressed and it's hard to make good money and all those things, but I'm just saying this, we need more wives that focus on the family, that take care of the children, because they're our future. How many times do we look at the young people we bring in on the buses downstairs, or the children we see in the stores and the shops everywhere we go, and we see the most wicked of behavior, the most terrible of children? And I've said this several times before, when I see a child in a store that's yelling and screaming and uncontrollable, I want to go over there and I want to smack the parent. Not the child. The child's acting the way the child's going to act. The child's going to do what the parents permit him to do. And it's not the child's fault, it's the parents' fault when they're acting that way. There needs to be a focus on the family. And the problem is the kids are just mimicking the life of the parents. Now basically, you understand, I'm not talking about folks in here. Because again, I believe I'm looking at a room full of Proverbs 31 women. Your family is your priority. Some of you have raised your children, you're in the workforce, that's not a problem. You're able to do double duty when you're able to, that's fine, that's okay. But the focus, can we just say, the focus of the Proverbs 31 woman was not on making more money and not being a greater success and not having her own checkbook and her own life and her own style, but being one with her husband and being a family together. She takes time for her family. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse 15, a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. A child left to himself bringeth her mother shame. And we live in a latchkey society, as they call it. We live in a day and time where the children are no longer the focus. The career is more important. The things are more important. The accumulation is more important. This woman took care of her family. And then finally, in verse 29 to verse 31, number 4, let me say it this way, and I'm trying to summarize these four verses. It says in verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Here again is this woman that Solomon is looking at. I don't know if he kept a check, hopefully not a stalker, but he kept a check on that Song of Solomon woman and watched her life as she did marry, as she did raise children, and as she did, he watched that and saw, that's what I've looked for among all these women. I've not found one. This is what I want my son to find. He says about that woman, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. She knows what is important. The Proverbs 31 woman, she knows what is important. Favor is deceitful. Popularity, being well known, really doesn't matter. Beauty is vain. To focus on the physical is not to focus on the spiritual. And the spiritual, how many times, I gotta be careful how I word things. We have seen the extremely beautiful woman that no man would want to spend 10 minutes around because of her attitude, her behavior, her arrogance, her snottiness, whatever you want. You see sometimes these kind of women in the stores, I'm trying to be careful. They're well decked out, they're well dressed, they're well everything, and there's nothing wrong with those things in particular. But they kind of show forth the attitude that we're better than everybody else. We're superior to the other people around us. You're here to serve me and to serve us. Beauty is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, you'd much rather run into that person in Walmart or in the store that's not excessively outwardly attractive, but has a sweet spirit. and has a nice word for people in her mouth and has a good attitude toward others around her. That's what Solomon is saying. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. You know, one of these days we're all going to stand, men and women, all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things we've done in the body, whether good or bad. Men, we're going to give an account for our fatherhood. We're going to give account for our husbandry. All right, and I don't mean raising animals. We're going to give an account for how we were as husbands and fathers and grandfathers, ladies. You'll give an account, not just for the things you did, but what kind of a woman you are. What kind of wife you are. What kind of mother you are. And really, shouldn't that be the emphasis? I mean, for all of us, when we get to the end of the road, God's not going to check my checking account or my bank account and say, how much money did you accumulate? He's not going to look at my house and say, how big was it and how many possessions did you have? He's going to look at what we did with what He entrusted us with. Children are an heritage of the Lord. He entrusts us with the keeping and the raising of them. And like Hannah, we give them back to God and raise them for the Lord. That's what we'll give the account of. Our influence through our children on the world around us. Not what we accomplish and acquire in this life. Oh, the Proverbs 31. Woman is a woman whose husband's heart could safely trust in her. She's a woman that worked, was industrious and hardworking to take care of her family. You know, the hard thing is, and ladies, I understand, you work from the morning and get off in the evening and then have to go home and cook supper for the family. That's a tough life. That's a hard thing to do. And then for many wives, they do that, and then when it's done, they do the dishes and clean up. Plus, they have to keep, and I'm not going to start making this list, I'll feel guilty. But women are hardworking and industrious. They take care of their family. They know what is important. I thank God I have a Proverbs 31 wife. Men, you need to thank God you have a Proverbs 31 wife. And you need to make sure you let her know that you're thankful you've got the Proverbs 31. You don't have the Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 woman. You go back and read that later. The one that Solomon got in trouble with and got hooked up with and probably end up marrying many of. But here's the one that the Bible said, she is a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Ladies, as you go out this morning, we have a table out there with little flowers on it, and we want to give all of our Proverbs 31 moms one of these flowers. Now you say, preacher, you're telling me if I take one, I think I'm a Proverbs 31. It's not what you think. It says in verse 38, her children rise up and call her blessed. She doesn't call herself blessed. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also and praiseth her. We're giving those flowers not because you think you are that woman, but because we think you are. Say, is there room for improvement? In every one of us. But here's our goal. Here's the model. Here's what we follow. Don't listen to the world. Listen to the Lord. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father, we thank